My name is John Machado, and this is the Gunpowder Plot Show, also known as the Guy Fox Podcast. It is Tuesday, February 28th, the shortest month of the year. And I am carcasting as I am on my way to Detroit to confession at Father Solanas Casey Center. Yeah, there it is. So, and it's always a good day when you're reconciling yourself to the Lord. I highly suggest it. As I've said before, for those who are non-Catholic, go try out confession. See if it works better than therapy. And I would argue that it does, because you're taking out all of those little hooks of sin that you've been carrying around, regret. Not to say you're not going to regret things, it's just that sting of it. You're going to get rid of it. So that's what I'm on my way to go do. And it's going to be a very busy day. I've got a lot of things that I have not been taking care of that I need to take care of. So that's what I'm doing today. Then on top of that, got to work out. You know, got to keep the body going. You know, read the Bible. Haven't done that today. So we'll see which episode I'm going to put out, because I have two that I have to put out. We did one last night, me and Bentley. I'm very proud of that one. Anytime I can defend the faith and I believe in a way that really eradicates the arguments against it, I feel good about. And then the episode, however many nights ago that we had done, I got to get that one out first. I think I'm going to do them both at the same time. I'd like to let one simmer, you know, but let's be honest. You guys are going to listen to both of them, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. So we got a lot of other stuff that's obviously been going on. Biden, instead of going to East Palestine, Ohio, goes to Ukraine to hang out with Zelensky, and then Zelensky turns around and shit talks Americans that, like myself, that don't want to give him any money. It's so funny how many times these people are like shit talking me, people like me, obviously not me specifically. But people like me who are wise enough to go, yeah, we don't want anything to do with your silly little goofy war, you fucking warmonger. How about you shove that up your ass? Of course, he's going to wipe his ass with our taxpayer dollars, which is sad. But that's because we have people in power and nobody. I'm a part of this nobody who's done anything about it. You know, well, what can be done? Well, we got to go through the courts. I'm getting a little tired of it, if I'm being honest, because not much is happening. I think most people are waiting for, and I know I said this when it came to the midterms, but I think we'll see a lot of people, if Trump doesn't get it, I think you'll see a lot of people who are at their wit's end when it comes to the politicians and the election process and having any faith whatsoever in our institutions. I've been tweeting a lot. I think making some pretty sound points on there. Getting a lot of interaction. Getting a lot of followers every day, which is nice. I think I'm past 1,500 on Twitter. So, you know, shooting for the stars on that one. Trying to get that out. I have not been promoting, which is not smart. I need to do that. 2 months into the year, and I think I've only probably really promoted a total of a couple weeks, so I need to start doing that. Now, what had happened was my computer's hard drive took a shit, and so I obviously had to get that fixed, and it was a little worrisome because I hadn't backed up all my files. One in particular would be the audiobook. And the amount of meticulous work I had done on that, I was afraid was gone. And long story short, it wasn't. My computer guy is a real whiz and a very kind guy. Get this, he's Muslim. Yeah, for all the shit that I talk about Muslims and stuff, I actually got a pretty good relationship with this guy. He's a nice fella. I try to bring him as much work as possible. Tell everybody about him. And he, I basically got a new computer with more hard drive space. I think I doubled it, close to doubled it. So it's not a terabyte, but I think I'm at like 400 or 500, something to that effect. So, but what I have noticed is, and I'm very weary of, is using Google Chrome. It's still slow as all get out. It's still kind of fucking up. My computer shut down again after I got it back, after I was fucking around, I think the first time back with the episode, because I need to use Google Chrome in order to use StreamYard. So that was a little worrisome. But what I did do is I backed up all of my data. So what I'm going to start doing, probably not going to do it today because I just did it a few days ago, and I really haven't worked too much on the book or the audio book, is backing up all of my data on my flash drives. I've got a couple of 32 gig hard drives, and I can fit everything that I need on one of them. So I think I'm going to start backing them up every at the end of every month so that I don't have to worry about that again. Dude only charged me $320 for a brand new, larger hard drive install, and then also data recovery. And that was super big for me to get back all of... Now, I wasn't too worried about chapters 1 through 13 and chapters 15 through 25 because I haven't done 15 through 25. And I had the layouts for all of them already backed up. So I wasn't too worried about that, but I was worried about certainly chapter 14. I put a lot of work into that one. It's getting close to being done where I can publish it. And then obviously the audiobook. I mean, it was like, you know, you put all that time and effort and energy into something and then it's gone. You just kind of feel deflated. I mean, not just, it's like deflated times 10, you know? So, but got all those issues fixed. Got a couple episodes that I'm going to be putting out there. Hope that you enjoy them. Certainly, please go and follow me if you haven't yet on Rumble so that I can live stream on that. Follow Bentley Bad Dog Show on Rumble. Mine is Gunpowder Plot. So just look up Gunpowder Plot or Bad Dog Show. Follow both of us so that we can live stream on Rumble. That's really the goal for right now when it comes to doing content. Hopefully it'll be a lot like StreamYard where I can just download the audio version and put it on the podcast. Because I'm thoroughly enjoying that. Being able, I mean, the ease of doing that. Not that this is all that hard, but the ability to show, you know, evidence or documents or articles or videos, and react to those things in time on the show itself. It makes it for a very excuse me, pleasant experience in doing this, and I think kind of elevates us too. So we're getting more interactions, which is nice. I mean, we're not at the thousands. We're still under the 100, really, but we're getting up there. You know, we'll get a bump every once in a while, and you know, just got to keep making the podcast better and better. And so that's my intent, is to keep doing that and to focus a little bit more on that while I can. And shit, I forgot, I'm going to Detroit. People don't stop at stop signs or stop lights. What are you, white? Which brings up another interesting issue for the day is the creator of Dilbert. It's not Mike Scott. Scott Adams, sorry. Scott Adams, who's, man, it's kind of weird for the guy because he's, I think, been somewhat of a conservative. And I use that label on people more so, I think, because most of them would. Now, I don't know if Scott Adams is a conservative or, you know, just simply a libertarian or whatever, but I do not believe that he's a liberal leftist. I don't think. I remember going through, you know, the Trump administration, hearing a little bit about him, and him not really becoming woke or anything like that. So maybe he's just not liberal leftist and he doesn't go by the other titles. But I guess one thing that he did, obviously, that I would have disagreed with, was he was in total support of the vaccine and the mitigation measures by the mainstream when it came to COVID. And that wasn't so great. But what I feel necessary to do is to give him kudos, because at the end of it all, he said, you know, he turned around and admitted that he was wrong and that we were right. You know, he was like, these guys, I think he called us the conspiracy theorists or whatever. We were right. And I mean, you can't, I, yeah, I get giving somebody shit for, you know, being in support of all that. But when they realize that they're wrong, and not only did he realize that he was wrong, he came out to say, well, now I have something to worry about, that these people that didn't get the shot don't. And that's, you know, am I going to die, basically. So I give him kudos for apologizing, for switching his position to what I believe is the correct way of thinking. And then also, you know, not just apologizing, but applauding us. So that's, you know, that's good stuff. I know a lot of people are still a little sour about it. I get that. I understand. You know, we're humans. It's hard for us to let go of things. You know, it's hard for us to forgive. But, but, and so that happened, I want to say a couple months ago. I remember Dave Smith and Robbie Bernstein talking about it, covering it on their podcast, and they were still a little perturbed at, you know, how poorly he handled COVID, because I think he talked shit about all of us, right? We were stupid for not getting the vaccines, and we needed to wear the mask, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they did obviously applaud him for changing course. So now what's happened within the last few days, he's canceled from pretty much everything but Twitter and his own website. The reason being is because he, I guess, has a podcast, but he had a video where he was addressing Don Lemon in some poll. Was it a Rasmussen poll? I can't remember what the poll was, but it was discussing a racially sensitive topic, which is race. And he was covering something that Don Lemon had said. And Don Lemon did say this. He had a whole bit on whatever show he was on at the time, in which he was talking about living in a black neighborhood and living in a white neighborhood. And I guess either the poll, I think it was the poll, said that somewhere upwards of like 70% of the black community within the United States of America basically are not, do not think highly of white people. Fuck, I'm forgetting a lot of what he said, which sucks. But it was basically that, and he came out to say, stay away from them. This is a hate group. Stay away from them. White people, stay away from black people, because they don't want to mix with you. And he went even further to say, he's sick and tired of watching white people, or black people, sorry, beat up non-black people, basically. Asians, Hispanics, whites, Jews. And then here comes the liberal left to crack down on him and get him canceled, and all of his, you know, all of his ties with, you know, what he does with Dilbert, where he has that comic, got rid of him. Every one of them, I believe. But the thing is, he's right. He's correct. He said nothing wrong, to the point that Don Lemon was saying the same thing. You know, talking, he was talking in his video, Don Lemon, about living in a white neighborhood, and there's rarely ever any, you know, trash or whatever, littering, and living in Harlem, where he watches every day, you know, children, adults, whatever, just throwing trash on the ground. You know, something that simple, upwards to, you know, the amount of violent crime in these black neighborhoods. He's correct. There is a problem within the black community in the United States of America that I can speak to in terms of having had experiences with black people in America. I live about 20-30 minutes outside of Detroit. We have a lot of black people from Detroit that come into our city for different shopping experiences, I guess, what have you. And not just now, but it's been throughout my life. We've had black people in Ann Arbor when I lived out there, when I lived in Ypsilanti, when I lived in Dearborn, when I lived in Tennessee. You know, I grew up, but when I talk about the racism, what have you, down in the South, where I lived in Tennessee, we had three main race groups, and that was whites, blacks, and Mexicans. not that Mexicans are a race group, but it wasn't Venezuelans, it wasn't Belizeans, it wasn't Cubans, it was Mexicans, blacks and whites. And each group as a whole didn't really care for one another in terms of race, if there was racism, right? It's not as a whole, like everybody didn't hate everybody else. And my experience was, I came down there as a northerner to them, even though I was born in Arkansas, and everybody hated me. So, like, all three groups hated me. So, but obviously not everybody. I mean, I had plenty of friends, met my best friend while I was down there, and had a lot of really good experiences. At one point, my two best friends before I met my buddy was a guy named Reggie and a guy named Julius, both black, you know. I've talked about my situation on a bus where I would have been fine sitting in the back, but the black kids in the back didn't let me, or weren't friendly in letting me sit down, and threatened to beat me up, calling me cracker and honky, you know, these little shits that I did nothing to, you know. Had it happened to a black kid, by white kids, you wouldn't have heard the end of it, even back then, you know. But I'm white, therefore nobody gives a shit. And I'm getting sick and tired of that too. I'm getting sick and tired of watching black people violently attack other races, including their own. Now, I've blamed this. It's not just one thing that's causing this. You know, it's a plethora of things. One of the biggest things, I think, is the gangster rap culture that has taken over the black culture. You know, where now black people believe that their culture is being a gangster. And it's terrible. It has made for their culture to become a terrible culture. You know, and I think that they need to abandon that and get back to the traditional family that black people had, certainly after slavery was over and even through Jim Crow, especially in the South. You have Jesse Lee Peterson, who talks often about having grown up on a plantation and having a mother and father, and, you know, how blacks acted back then. And the differences now, and being brave enough to admit these things, much like Scott Adams has done, and then some. I mean, he was pretty, I think he was blunt to an effect, but he could have went even harder, you know, to say the things that I'm saying. You know, these fucking gangster rapper pieces of shit, most of whom aren't. Like, Tupac Shakur was not the rough and tumble, hardcore, you know, gangster who he portrayed himself to be. But you know what it did? It caused other people to want to be like him and act like him in his music, which he did not live that life. You know, he ended up, I guess, getting shot. I mean, there's theories that he's still alive. But he was a fucking ballerina. Yeah. And now what's happening to this gangster culture, especially within the entertainment industry, is, I said that like Trump, industry, is that they're trying to turn them gay. With Lil Nas, you think that's the end of it? You think it's just one accident or whatever? No, they're going after black men. I've said this before, black men, if you're listening, you need to gird your loins, boys. You need to realize that you're men. You need to not fucking be tricked into this shit. They are targeting you. They want to make you gay. They want to make your kids gay. Dewan Howard, is that his name? The basketball player? What he's doing with his son is fucking atrocious. He's got a son who he has been supporting becoming a tranny. I don't play that bullshit of calling his son a she and fucking saying it's a girl. No, no, no. No, it's a tranny. His son is now mentally ill and he is supporting it. This is a place that I am immovable. I will be until the day I die. And it's disgusting. And they're using him, propping him up, to get you to think this is normal. They're normalizing it, just as they did with gangster rap. And you have, what was it? What's the media one? Mockingbird. That extends over into the industrial, the entertainment industrial complex. The CIA, which should be an international outside of the United States, because the FBI is supposed to be within the United States, federal. But the CIA, who gets their dirty little mitts on everything, went in and had not just one meeting with NWA and what have you, but many meetings. Worked with a movie producer, as well as music production, in order to promote this gangster mentality. They were also involved, same with the ATF and the DEA, in selling drugs. You've heard plenty of times, I'm sure, black rappers and shit, you know, who think they're learned, but they'll come out and talk about how the government injected selling crack to black people, right, within the inner cities. Well, number one, you didn't have to smoke it. Number two, yeah, they did. That was a part of what they did. But they also got a hold of your music, had you believe that that was your culture, and look at where we're at now, where, you know, going to prison is almost like high school for a lot of black men within the inner cities. And then on top of that, they incentivize the black women to stay single, to get pregnant and have more babies, that they don't have fathers in the homes, because they're out gangbanging and selling drugs and ended up in prison. Which you don't have to do, you know, you don't have to do the shit the government is trying to get you to do. You can wake up. If I can wake up, you can wake up. Now, I woke up around 18-ish, right? In terms of the government itself, or at least I was on the road, probably woke up a little bit closer to like 20, early 20s, truly woke up and started saying, all right, this is fucked up, and getting into, you know, studying the different conspiracy theories as well as conspiracies that were out there. If I can do that, all of them can, you know. I'm not special. I didn't fucking grow up and go to Harvard, you know, I didn't grow up in money and go to Harvard and learn all the ins and outs, you know, in the underbelly of all of these terrible worlds. I had to learn it from, you know, not a lot of access to it. And I woke up, so they can too. But it takes calling it out. And thankfully, Scott Adams has done that. So I applaud him for that. He is going to go through some pains now. And I think he was ready. I think he's got the money for it, which is makes it a lot easier to do. You know, but I think what he needs to do is to, and he, I think he has doubled down. I mean, I've seen his tweets recently and they're still pretty good. He needs to continue that. I think he needs to get hooked up with, especially if he wants to sell his comic, sell it to InfoWars. You know, I even made that suggestion to him. I don't know if he saw it. Twitter's kind of nice in the sense that even people with millions of followers, and, you know, you got to kind of question how many of those are bot accounts, but even with millions of followers, still only get a few responses on their posts and stuff like that, so that you can interact with them to an effect. That is the nice part about Twitter, and everybody's on Twitter. Still love Gab, you know, love it to death. Still a fan of Parler and Gitter. But Twitter right now is still going there. Again, none of it's real life, but, you know, I think Scott Adams does need to do that, and maybe even hook up, who knows, with Gavin McGinnis and Censored, or Anthony Cumia, and do something like that. But as I said, I applaud him for doing that. There are a lot of facets to the black community that purposely seeks its downfall, and the government is in part to deal with that. And you know, the answer to that is to reduce the government size, right? So But also the things that affect them affect every other community, white community, Hispanic, Asian, you know, even Middle Eastern. Here in East Dearborn, if you don't think that there's little gangsters, wannabe gangsters walking around, oh yeah, there are, for sure. Anywho, that's it for this episode. Maybe I'll have another one. Who knows? Until next time, be accountable, be responsible, don't be a bitch-ass liberal.